Welcome to the Bethesda Church Podcast. We're so glad you've joined us today. If you'd like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at BethesdaChurch.tv/give and simply select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, Bethesda. I'm thankful for your faithfulness to the house of God. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand here today. I want to thank Pastor Chad and Pastor Karen for giving me this opportunity. It's always an honor and a privilege and a great responsibility to share the Word of God. Is everybody doing good today? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful and grateful to be in your presence. We thank you, we honor your presence, and we don't take it for granted. We just are in awe of you and all that you do. We ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds right now to receive your word, what you would have us to hear and what you would have us to implement into our lives, that we would not leave here the same as we came in today, but we would leave changed more into the image of Christ. We thank you, we praise you for it, in Jesus' name, amen. What I want to talk to you about today is seeking God, kind of back to the basics, seeking God. You're going to have to seek God if you want to see God. If you want to see him in your marriage, you want to see him in that financial trouble that you've got going on, you want to see him in your health, you want to see him in the circumstances of your life, you're going to have to seek him. You have to seek him if you want to see him. If you want to see him move on your behalf, you're going to have to seek him. I'm going to open up with some scriptures here in Matthew 6:33. This verse says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first. You know, here at Bethesda, Pastor Chad has set forth before, and we continue to have a pray first culture where we bathe everything in prayer. We need to have the mindset of a seek first culture where we seek first God. We seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness. We know we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus at the great exchange of the cross. Jesus became sin, so we become the righteousness of God. Amen. We have anybody saved in here today? Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we become his righteousness. His kingdom is within us. We carry the kingdom. We're kingdom carriers. So when we seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, all these other things will fall in place. In this scripture, in this portion of scripture, when it's talking about the other things, it's talking about people worrying about what they will eat, about what they will drink, about what they will wear, the cares of this life. He said, all those will take care of themselves if you get the first thing first. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I applaud you today. You're at church. You're seeking God first in your week. You're here to hear what the Lord would have you to do. You're here to be in fellowship with one another. In Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Now, these are some blanket promises here. I mean, seek and you will find. How many of you know you do find what you seek? Ask and you shall receive. Maybe we're not asking enough. Knock and the door will be opened. Well, what if the door hasn't opened yet? Keep on knocking. If I know you're in there, I'm not going to let you get away that easy. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to make you get up and come to the door. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. His promises are not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. They are our promises and they belong to us. Let's look at Jeremiah 29:13. This is God speaking through the prophet. He says, and you will seek me and find me. Speaking of God, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What a promise that you will find God if you seek him. You heard of hide and seek? You need to hide away and seek God. That's the kind of hide and seek you need. Hide yourself from everything that's going on around you. Get alone in your prayer closet. Get away from all the distractions and give yourself to God. Seek first God. Seek him. He promises that we'll find him when we search for him with all our heart. You say, well, Lord, where are you? I can't find you. Seek him. Keep seeking him. Pursue him. Follow after him. If you want a relationship with somebody, do you just say hi to them once and never talk to them again? No, you pursue that relationship, right? You pursue that relationship. That's what we need to do. We need to keep on keeping on, pursuing, seeking. Seek him with all your heart. He promises you will find me. You will find me. You know, relationships are supposed to be give and take, right? Not supposed to be all give or all take, but it's supposed to be give and take. You might find yourself in a time in your life, in a season, where you feel like you're shouldering this relationship with God. Like, Lord, I feel like I'm carrying all the weight here. I need you to carry your end. What's going on here? Well, I'm not saying that God sees it this way, but this is an illustration I'm going to use the way I can picture it to help you get through those times when you might be struggling. If you think about the give and take of the relationship, think about all the times that God has carried that relationship. All those times that he sought after you when you weren't seeking him. It's probably more than a couple seconds. Probably more than a couple minutes, a couple hours, a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, a couple years, for some of us, a couple decades. So don't give up on God, because he never gave up on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The kingdom of God is within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You abide in him and his word abides in you. You shall have whatever you ask. These are the promises of God. It's a lie of the enemy to say that God has left you. He has not left you. God is to be sought after as the first and the ultimate answer to everything, because he is. But you must see him as he is to be able to partake of his attributes. The way we relate to God changes everything. When you see him as Savior, Lord, Healer, Deliverer, Provider, Protector, it changes the way you treat him, and it can determine what you can receive from him. You have to see him as the provider of that specific need to be able to receive that from him. You probably weren't looking to him for salvation until you saw him as your Savior. You weren't looking to him for healing until you saw him as Healer. You weren't looking to him for deliverance until you saw him as your Deliverer. How you view God matters. You can't separate God from his attributes. He reveals himself in his names, and when he says, I am the Lord that heals you, you can't separate him from that. You can't split him from Healer, from Deliverer, from Savior, from Lord. You can't seek after God and not receive his attributes. When you seek him as your Lord, he is going to guide your life. You cannot separate the two. They're intertwined. Him and his attributes, the Lord God and his attributes, are one. It's who he is. He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Pastor Chad, it's been a while back, he was preaching from this platform, and he said that something that stuck with me, and it's wisdom. It's really good. And he was talking about people asking him, you know, what should we call you? Should we call you bishop? Should we call you pastor? What title do you prefer? And his response was, call it like you see it. If you see me as a bishop, you call me bishop. If you see me as your pastor, you call me pastor. If you don't, don't. The way you see your pastor relates to how you receive from your pastor. If you see him as your pastor, you can receive rebuke, correction, instruction, edification, exhortation, comfort. You can receive from that pastoral role when you see him as your pastor. You submit to him as your pastor. The same thing with God. When you see God as provider, you go to him first. When you see him as healer, you go to him first. When you see him as deliverer, you go to him first. You see what I'm saying? It all depends on how you see him, how you relate to him. How you see him matters. He is to be loved, but he's also to be feared. If you see him as all love, all grace, all forgiving, you will come to him for forgiveness and you'll trust in his unchanging, unconditional love in that nature and in that respect. And if you see him as holy, mighty, the righteous judge, the father who disciplines, then you will fear him and respect him for his ultimate authority. You need to see all the aspects of God. All the aspects, all the attributes. Don't seek him. Seek him as he is. Don't seek him just for one thing. Seek him for who he is, which he is all in all. He is the great I am. And if you see him as he is, you can receive from him for your needs. God, if acknowledged as God, has to be first. There's no other way. He is God. And as we acknowledge him, yes, you're God. How can you not seek him first? How can you not search for him and seek after him? There's no other alternative other than seeking him first. If he is God, he's to be sought, and he's to be sought first. Before you make any decision, seek first the Lord. We have some mindsets I want to go over here, some mindsets that we're going to have to change. These are strongholds. These are some mindsets that you can get stuck in, and they'll keep you in bondage. So number one, this mindset, I already know what I'm going to do. That kind of defeats the purpose of going to God and asking him what to do. I already know what I'm going to do. I already know what I'm going to do. Thinking that you're in control and that you know everything. How about you submit to God, the Almighty, the one who can see the whole roadmap? Let him direct your steps. That's what it's about. Stop thinking you know everything about that relationship, about that financial situation, about that diagnosis. Stop thinking you already know the answer before you go to the prayer closet. Go to the prayer closet first and receive from the Lord. You know, I know somebody, a precious saint who's gone on to be with the Lord now. But she was talking about, she was a prayer warrior. And she was talking about, people were talking about what's more important, the word or prayer? Prayer or the word? And they were like, well, no, we're here to pray. We got to pray. She's like, no, I need to read the word. She's like, no, we got to pray. She's like, well, if you don't read the word, what are you going to pray? If you don't know his promises, what are you asking him for? What are you standing on? What's your legal ground to come before the throne of grace in your time of need if you don't even know who he is? They have to go together, the word and prayer. We have to have both. So acknowledge that the Holy Spirit's within you, that he knows all things. Yield to his lordship and seek him first. Don't think you know it all. Number two, I know.
You didn't come to church to find out you didn't know it all. But I just had to lay that out there because it's a mindset we got to get away from. Number two, this is what I've always done, or how I've always done it. This is what I've always done. Now, this mindset can keep you in bondage to perceive safety of comfort and routine. I said perceive safety because you're believing, trusting in your own way over the ways of God. Because you've done it that way before, and well, it might not have worked out great, but it worked. So you'd rather trust in what you've seen work before than trust and put your faith in God and step out into the unknown. Don't lose out on what God can do because of your perceived safety of not stepping out in obedience. You need to go to God first. Break down these strongholds. They're keeping you in bondage. Don't think you know everything. Yield to Him. It's His life anyway, right? Don't do it that way just because you've always done it that way. Because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Number three, this is what is socially acceptable. This is what others expect of me. I'm going to do what my friends are doing. I'm going to do what everybody else is doing. Everybody's doing it this way. I'm just going to fall in line. Well, I got a word for you today. The majority does not rule. God does. Say, but I'm going to stand out. I'm not going to fit in. Listen, it's time for you to stand out. God did not create you to fit in and go with the flow. He created you to stand out and to stand up. We got to break off these mindsets. Go to God first. Give Him the preeminence. Preeminence is the fact of surpassing all others. That's God. He surpasses all others. He's superior. He is God Almighty, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Do not forget God. Do not forget to seek Him. I'm going to go over some scriptures here. They're going to give you the scripture references, but the scriptures themselves won't be on the screen. It's something you can go back and look up later. I'm going to go over some of these. They're definitely important to what we're trying to get across today. You can see how relevant they are with today's culture. In Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 20, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to paraphrase some of it, summarize some of it as we go. But it starts off here in verse 7. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Now, who's doing that? The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks of waters, of fountains and springs that flows from valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, a land with vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land with olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Wow. Now, who did that? God brought you into a good land. We drop down to verse 10. It says, "When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you." Up to this point, everything is going great. Then we hit verse 11. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, when you have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." The blessings overtake you until you think you're the one who brought the blessings. Said, "I'm self-made. I built this house. I earned this money. I bought this land. I did it. You forget the Lord Almighty. We got to put him first, and we got to keep him first, and we got to seek him first. We're not done getting beat up yet. Hold on. Then it goes on down to 17, verse 17. It says, then when you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he has swore to your fathers as it is this day. He's the one, some translations say, who gives you the ability to create wealth. You wouldn't have any of it without him. He gave you the opportunities. He gave you the mind. He gave you the body. He gave you the strength. He gave you the health. He gave you the provision. He's the one who is your provider. You can think that it's your ability. You can think that it's your job. Oh, that's my provider. That's not your provider. They have to sign your paycheck, but they're not your provider. God's your provider. If that check's gone tomorrow, God still provides. You have to understand where your help comes from. You have to understand, and don't forget. Don't forget. Everything was going well for the Israelites in these scriptures. Everything was perfect. And they forgot God. Sometimes it's easier to remember he's God in the slim times, in the hard times, when you feel the need to seek after him. I encourage you right now, seek him in the good times. Next scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, talking about acknowledging God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That sounds like seeking him first, does it not? Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, put him first, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Anybody want their paths directed by the Lord Almighty? You want God to order your footsteps? You're going to get to the right place if you do. This next one, James 5, 10 and 11. Says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. For you've heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end intended by the Lord. For the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You say, where did that verse come from? I'm talking about seeking God. I'm talking about being faithful to God. The faithful have to be faith-filled. Job was faithful. Now, I want to point something out to you, something that I just saw recently myself. Here we see God's commentary. He's giving right here in this scripture, he's giving a New Testament commentary on the Old Testament book of Job. He's telling you what the book of Job is about. And what he says is pretty stunning, because he says, have you heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful? When you read the book of Job, that's what you should hear. That's what you should receive, that the book of Job is bathed in compassion and mercy. Think about that. It's about his compassion and it's about his mercy. Now, we know Job had some so-called friends. They said, what's wrong with you, you sinner? You know you're going against God. Otherwise, bad things wouldn't be happening to you. Otherwise, your life would be perfect. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any struggles. You wouldn't have anything going on in your health. What did you do? But he remained faithful. He did not turn his back on God. He continued to talk to God, continued to seek God, speak to God. He did not break the relationship, and God vindicated him. God calls him his faithful servant and puts him in the book here and even speaks of him here about how he endured and saw the Lord's intended end, that he was faithful. We need to surround ourselves with people who can pick us up, not people who put us down. In other words, I wouldn't recommend going on Facebook and finding Job and adding all of his friends to your friend list. I wouldn't recommend doing that. That's not the kind of friends you need. No, you need friends that are going to be able to pull you up. And you know, if you're going up an incline, it's easier for somebody to reach down and pull you up than it is from somebody behind you to try to push you up. So you need to find people who pull you up, and you need to be a person that pulls people up. The faithfulness, the compassion, the mercy of God. There was a time when Esther and I, we were the church we were at that time, it's been years ago, but the church we were at that time was going through a pastoral change. And, you know, we were seeking God about what to do. Because we're like, you know, I don't know. Don't know if we should stay here, we should go somewhere else. I mean, what do we do? So we sought some godly counsel with a man who was like a mentor to us at that time. And he spoke a word of wisdom to us as far as just solid truth. And he said, you're looking at a church. Should you leave a church or should you not leave a church? And he said, I'm going to encourage you. You don't choose a church. You choose a pastor. Because that's who you're going to look like. Because that's who you're going to sit under. That's who you're going to receive from. I'm not going to say that you say, well, maybe I don't want to look exactly like. Listen, there are attributes of that pastor that you need. There are attributes of that personality. There's things that he's been through that you need to receive from. There are things that he needs to help bring you into in the Lord. And when you see that as it is, it's eye-opening. Because you say, whoa, you're right. You're right. It stands to reason that if God has placed you under a pastor, that pastor has something in their teaching, something in their life, something that you need to discover, something you need to find out, something that's meant to challenge you and to change you to grow. Listen, today's a perfect day to change. Today's a perfect day to change. You need a pastor that can pull you up. That can pull you up. Who's been somewhere that you want to go. Who has victory somewhere in their life that you want to see in your own. That's what we need. And we need to be that to other people. So we need to submit ourselves to God. When you seek God first, you submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to his lordship. You say, I don't know it all. You do. I'm submitting to you. So we know the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many want the devil to flee? That's right. So we must submit to God. One way to submit to him is to seek him first. You're either submitting to Jesus' lordship or you're submitting to distraction. You need to submit to Jesus' lordship and resist distraction. Distraction is anything that gets in the way of his lordship. In the parable of the types of soil or the seed sown, whatever you want to call it. But there's four types, but the one type is shaded out by the thorns. Those are distractions. They'll keep you from producing fruit. They'll keep you from seeking God first. You've got to get rid of those distractions. You're either focused or you're distracted. You're ascending or you're descending. You're conforming or you're transforming. There is no middle ground. You're moving forward with God or you're moving toward the world. Because society will try to conform you, push you into its mold, make you look like everybody else that is being forced into that same mold. Or you're being transformed more into the image of Christ. We'll give you a newsflash here. Jesus didn't come to earth so God could learn how to look more like us. Right. He came to teach us how to look more like him. And that's what it's all about. So submit to his lordship. So how do I stay on track? I'm going to give you three things here. How do I stay on track? What to do in moments of decision? So number one, seek God first. Determine to give God the opportunity to work things out. Before you go to that divorce lawyer, before you go to that psychiatric appointment, before you go to the loan officer, before you go to the doctor, seek God first. I'm not going to tell you what to do second, because when you seek God first, that'll be taken care of. He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to do. Seek God first. The best time to seek God is when you're not in a critical need. It is hard to learn how to fight when you're in the middle of a war. So the best time to seek him is when you're not in a critical need. In other words, when you're on the mountaintop, as we read about the Israelites, you know, when they were living in those beautiful houses and everything was good, that's when you need to seek the Lord. That's when you need to seek him. If you desperately need to find God, it's easiest to find him when you already know where he is. If you meet with him every day in the prayer closet, you know where to find him. You know his number. You can get a hold of him. He's not far. He's close to all of us. It says he's close to those of a broken and contrite spirit. He's close to us when we call upon him. It's all about proximity. So keep him close. And by that, I mean you stay close to him. Number two, listen to God. Pray and expect to receive an answer. Don't just pray and ask, but expect to receive an answer. Well, when? When you pray. When you pray, believe you receive. Sometimes we put too much faith in our ability to hear and not enough faith in his ability to speak. Oh, God, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm asking, but you're not speaking to me. He's speaking. Listen. Listen. Pray and expect to receive. You say, what are you talking about? God's speaking. Well, number one way he speaks is through his word. Read his word. Read his word. You'll get in the word and you'll find something that is the direct answer to your prayer. Or you hide the word in your heart as you read it daily. And then when you pray, the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance, and right there it is, the answer. And you know it as scripture. You recognize it as scripture. You recognize it as the voice of God. That's the Lord answering that prayer. So read his word. Hear and receive. The best way to hear the Lord is to read his word daily. By doing so, you will know the will of God and you will become accustomed to his voice and you'll even learn his ways. Number three, so seek God first, listen to God, and then follow his leading. Faith without works is dead. You've got to walk it out. Sometimes that's the spot we're in where we know what to do, but now we got to do it. Now we have to implement it. So apply God's answer to your life. Live a life of obedience, constantly leaning into God, yielding to his will and being bent toward his way. Make it your goal to submit more ground to Jesus every day. It's his life. In the Bible, it speaks a lot about stewardship. It talks about everything that we have, God has given us. And in that sense, we're not owner of any of it, but we are rather a steward of it. We steward it for him. Life itself is a stewardship. You are not your own. You've been bought by a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are his. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You are stewarding this life that belongs to him. You must seek him first. A steward is someone who manages or looks after another's property. Think about that. This is God's property. God, your house needs a little work. I'm going to need you to help work on this house a little bit here. Get it back in shape. You know, I'm just a tenant. I'm living here in the house, but you own it. So I need you to keep it up. I need you to heal it. I need you to bless these hands. I need you to prosper this life. Why? We learned about prospering. We learned about the Lord giving you ability to get wealth. It says to establish his covenant upon the earth, to tell others about Jesus, to be an example, to pull them up. It all starts with seeking God. God's word's not going to change to suit you. You're going to have to change to look like it. Learn that still small voice and know it well. Know it well. It's time to start standing up. Praise team, if you'll come back to the platform, I greatly appreciate you. If everybody would go ahead and stand with me. I'm going to have you do something now. I want you to find somebody around you, beside you, somebody around you there. And I'm going to have you speak some life, some authoritative proclamation over them. What's that mean? It means you're going to speak over them. You're going to speak to them. So I just want you to repeat after me. You got somebody? Everybody got somebody? Just speak over each other. Hey, we're just speaking life, the life of God, all right? So right now, just repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, right now, be free. Free from mindsets that have held you bondage and kept you from seeking God. Free from stress and depression. Free from anxiety and disappointment. Be free indeed. Free of all the hurts of life, all bondage, go. Be free now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's celebrate the Lord today. Yes, Lord, we praise you, God. Hallelujah. As we open up the altars here, when they start to sing, we want to leave the middle open for anybody just coming to seek the Lord. I believe that there's a lot of people in here that need to seek the Lord. Number one, we need to repent for not putting him first. And number two, there's a need in your life where you need to seek him. And this altar is going to be open here in the middle section for anybody who fits those categories. And if the prayer team will go ahead and get in place on the sides, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't wait. Come up now to one of these prayer team members and just tell them you need Jesus, because you have no greater need in your life. The Word of God says now is the day of salvation. The urgency of it is now. So if you need Jesus, they'll be able to lead you into that relationship with the Lord. So if that's you, you come now. If you have any other prayer needs, you come to the prayer team. Let them agree with you. Let's believe God that you received today and don't leave the same as you came. Otherwise, let's seek the Lord today while he may be found. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Bethesda Church. We hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, bethesdachurch.tv. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.